genuine Christian ministry that results in people coming to receive Christ as Savior and Lord cannot really take place without hearing the voice of God. So what I want to deal with is learning how to recognize and reject any opposition to following the voice of God. It does speak loudly to every true servant of Christ, and I want to point out that despite the apostasy in the United States these days, there are people who every day they are accepting Jesus, the Son of God, as Savior, and there are Bible-believing Christians who are praying for this country to return to her belief and her honor and her reverence of God, and calling good what he called good and calling evil what he called evil. And that is, those prayers are going up as well. And the Lord is saving and raising up men, women, and children who are doing his will. So what I want to focus on, though, is we do remember where the Apostle Paul said in the scriptures that the time is short. So we, every true believer should be concerned about really hearing the voice of God so that they can be involved in the ministry or the ministries that he has called them into. The problem is there are believers whose attention he is trying to get, but they are not responding because they are hearing the voice of man over the voice of God. And that mistake, that if it continues, will literally stifle the believer's walk with Christ, and will eventually lead to being to him or her being spiritually lukewarm, a very dangerous spiritual condition, according to the scripture of Revelation 3rd chapter verses 15 through 16. Unfortunately, far too many people view Christian ministry as impossible or subpar if it's not carried out by people who are ordained, people who have completed seminary school, and this is nothing against that. I have received ordination myself, but what I'm saying is man's ordination does not equal God's ordination. Some people view Christian ministry as impossible or subpar if it's carried out by people who have not walked for many years with Christ, or who are not endorsed by the large, the wealthy, or the well-known ministries. However, none of that is, none of those views, none of those attitudes are supported in Scripture. They are supported by tradition. And again, those of us who are really concerned with being true servants of Christ, hearing the voice of God, we do remember in 1 Corinthians 7:29, where the Apostle Paul did write, the time is short. So obviously we cannot afford to waste it. I want to deal with just some of the more common reasons presented to people to discourage them, or that do end up discouraging them from doing God's will. So this message can actually be to those people, or it could be to you if you are experiencing that. There are people who, for whatever reason, they are, and many of them are the reasons I will deal with, are not, they're hearing, but they're not doing. And it could be because they are discouraged, or even because they think that they cannot be a servant of God because they aren't ordained, or they aren't endorsed, or they haven't walked with Christ for long, and none of those things should be your hindrance. One of the things that I have noticed, and I'm sure most people have noticed, that in these new and these modern days, a lot of the people will have a voice of majority in speaking that, or who are of the opinion that even Christians should follow the status quo, that they should be politically correct, that they should belong to the in crowd, and they should be hip. And the problem with that is, when that is of more importance than being righteous before God, than being obedient to God, then what we are doing is placing man's opinion, man's agenda, and man's interests over that of God. That is very serious. It is stifling, and it amounts to placing man's voice over the voice of God. We do know that those who will adhere to belief in the scriptures, who will continue to label as good, what God labels as good, and will continue to label as evil, what God has labeled as evil, you will meet with opposition, with criticism, with hatred, and with threats. That is not, those truths are not hidden in the Word. And that's why, one of the reasons why Paul wrote in Galatians, the first chapter and the 10th verse, he says, and this is word for word, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." That cannot be any plainer in letting you know that being the servant of Christ, the true servant of Christ, is going to bring you into opposition with men. And there are going to be many times when you will have to make a choice. You please man and you fail to please God, or you place man above God and you please, or you place God above man and you please God, and then you face the opposition with man. That is simply the way it is. And so that is something that each individual servant has to, a decision he or she has to make for him or herself. Another opposition or what might cause discouragement can be the voice of a pastor, elders, deacons, ministers and missionaries, other ordained Christian leaders. And we want to remember that not all of those people are necessarily called of God. I mean, some of them call themselves, and some of them place themselves in the pulpit, and others place the labels on themselves. And this is not necessarily saying who is called, who is not. What it's reminding you is that not every person considered a Christian leader is necessarily a servant of God. And so that is why we are always pointed back, or should point ourselves back, to the Scriptures, because that is what lets us know what is the will of God, what pleases Him, what displeases Him, what He accepts and what He rejects. And so it's very important, particularly for the baby Christian or the new convert in Christ who is hearing the voice of God, wants to implement those things in obedience. Sometimes, many times, he or she is met with resistance, is met with disapproval, is met with just a general lack of interest. And if your idea is not the popular, if it's not necessarily endorsed by the church's leaders or the pastor, as considered insignificant or unimportant. While those things can be discouraging, they nevertheless should not stifle your decision or your action, because again, it's a constant reminder process. Are we seeking to please man, or are we seeking to please God? And we, on this subject, what might be contained in the voice of this type of opposition is that, or the advice you might be given, or that is given to many people in that situation, will be just to just attend church and listen and learn instead of attempting to teach yourself. All that you need to know, the shepherd over the flock will teach you. However, that is not in agreement with God's Word, who taught us that God Himself will teach everyone who comes to Him. In the scripture of Hebrews, the 8th chapter, verses 10 to 11, it says, and this is the word, "For this is the covenant that I will make with those of the house of Israel." Remember that the house of Israel is all-inclusive. It's all believers, regardless of nationality. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." Obviously, that scripture cannot be any plainer in putting forth that God sees from the greatest to the least. That means the person who has been walking with Him practically a lifetime, hears His voice, that is obedient to Him. That doesn't mean that the baby Christian or the new convert is cut off from God, and he can hear the voice just as God speaks to His other servants. So while it's not anti-biblical to say that you can't learn from your pastors, your elders, your deacons. That's certainly not what Scripture is saying. We can, God will teach us through many methods, through the reading of His Word, through the reading of books, through pastors, through missionaries. What it's letting you know is that your source is still God. And one truth He may choose to teach you through one of those leaders. Another truth He may not. And so that is why we need to understand that He is our teacher. And we can literally, in the spirit realm, sit at the feet of Christ and learn from Him. It doesn't matter what our background is or how long we've been walking with Him. If we have truly received Him as Lord and Savior, He is our teacher. And so we can know the Lord by Him teaching us. We don't have to always go through someone else. Also, Jesus Himself taught in St. John 14:26, and His words were, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things." Again, Scripture cannot get any plainer in letting you know that the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ is your teacher. And so, while He may choose to teach you through a Christian leader, a pastor, a minister, or a leader, we should not ever take the attitude that we can't be taught unless we are taught through those peoples, because we have, through Christ, direct access to God, to the Spirit of God, our teacher. And pastors are considered shepherds over a flock, but we have to remember their voice should never override the voice of the Son of God, who is referred to as the chief shepherd. So definitely the chief shepherd is over any other shepherds. And that chief shepherd is the one who loved the flock so much that He laid His life down for it. Jesus is referred to as chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. And we also have biblical passages that leave the example of people who were taught by the apostles of Christ, who checked behind those apostles. They checked the Scriptures for themselves to make sure that what they were being told was actually were actually written. So they didn't just trust their salvation and the teaching of doctrine to someone else, even though those people were actually called by God, and the Bible is our example. In the 11th verse of the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, we see this being carried out by a people known as the Bereans. And they are the ones who, they listened to the readers, but they went behind and they checked to make sure that those scriptures actually existed and that they were being taught in the scriptures, and said the same thing as the people who were standing up teaching them. And this is extremely important. I've been in conversations with people. I've read things, and they'll loosely quote the Bible. And in running reference, often I find that is not how it read. And sometimes I found it's not even in the Bible. It's a scripture that doesn't exist or has been changed so much that it doesn't even have the same meaning changed by the person who quoted it, who many times they have no idea that either it doesn't read that way, it doesn't say that, or it doesn't even exist. So it's very important for each of us to go to God's Word for ourselves. The other really, I think, big problem is the voice of a spouse seeking to hinder the doing of God's will. And while this isn't always the case, usually it's a problem with the Christian wife, not the Christian husband. And this is one of the more delicate subjects. I would strongly recommend the reading of the study. It's at a free study at heavenlymanna.net called The Christian Wife, Bondage or Freedom. And it really goes into detail what the meaning behind the scriptures that tell the wife, the Christian wife, to be obedient to the husband exactly. And it doesn't go into Hebrew or Greek roots of words, but in plain language really brings forth some truths that are not being taught in the church, because for the most part they aren't even known. So this is one, if you're found in that situation, a Christian wife found in that situation, that really will clear up any questions that you have on the role of the Christian wife, the role of the Christian female within the church, and being obedient to the voice of God without disobeying and other areas of your life. And God does not contradict himself when he speaks of, when his word speaks of being obedient to the husband, obedient to others. He knows how to keep you in that obedience to them, yet not allow those people to interfere with your obedience that is owed to him. So that would be an excellent read for anyone experiencing that type of opposition. Again, it's at heavenlymanna.net, H-E-A-V-E-N-L-Y, and manna is spelled M like mother, A, double N like Nancy, A, and it's .net, and you can do a simple search there, Christian wife, or and should be able to find that. But that is what we as servants of God want to make sure, that at all times, we, as we recap, we are not concerned more with pleasing man than we are with pleasing God, that we are not agreeing with the attitudes, that it's important to be in the in crowd, it's important to be politically correct. We really want to see and hear God's voice for ourselves.